Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
It's another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley getting ready to talk about the Oakland Raiders as we move towards the top of the NFL draft, coming to you a little over a week away. We've been working our way all the way up from the bottom to the top of the first round. We're in our fourth and final week of these franchise-focused podcasts. And for the Raiders, we'll talk about their offseason additions, the guys that they lost, the fantasy implications, and we'll get into a draft and a very important draft for the Raiders and some team needs that they may have. Look at kind of where the state of the team is at. Look at some MFL 10 data to get an idea of where some of their key fantasy players are going in these early drafts. We'll do all of that coming up on these podcasts. And also, don't forget, if you have questions for future podcasts, you have responses to previous podcasts, including this one, use the hashtag FranchiseFocus and tweet them to us at Fantasy Guru site, at the Matt Kemp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Brawley. But before we get into the Raiders, we got to talk to you about FanDuel. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They are the leaders in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today and win tonight. Pick a brand new team any day you want. There's no season-long commitment, no upfront fees, and it's not just baseball. Play NHL and NBA playoff games on FanDuel, too. So, I mean, Joe, we've been getting into the baseball season already a couple weeks in, and the nice thing is if you want to take a day off, you can take a day off. If you have, like, every team in baseball playing, you want to put a couple lineups in, you can do that too.
You know, I'm one of those guys, I follow all the major sports, some more aggressively than others, and sometimes something happens in one of the leagues where you go into football mode for the day. Like, for instance, next week the NFL draft comes up. Well, you're so into the NFL draft, you forgot to set your season-long lineup, and oh, now you're in a hole and you lost that week. That is not an issue with FanDuel. If you forget to set a FanDuel lineup, just play the next day.
That's the nice part about it.
Double up the next day to make up for it. It's the greatest thing in the world. It's the best way to play fantasy baseball if you're like me and you have a really short attention span.
Joe Watson from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Let's talk about the Oakland Raiders. I don't want to say there's a ton of positivity, but I think we come into the 2015 season not necessarily being so pessimistic on the Oakland Raiders. Yes, they were 3-13 last year, but they went from Derek Carr from day one, as they pretty much should have. They didn't pretend that Matt Schaub was their guy. Derek Carr was their guy. Started all 16 games. Look, he wasn't a fantasy-relevant player, but in reality, I think he had a pretty good rookie season. Average O-line, one of the worst receiving corps in football, shaky ground game for the most part. Took his lumps, and you know that's going to happen for a rookie quarterback. Had a bit of a leg issue, but didn't keep him off the field. Threw 599 passes, completed over 58% of his attempts, 3,270 yards, 21 touchdowns to just 12 interceptions. Look, 16-point fantasy points per game, he was 33rd at the position. I like, though, seeing the fact that with all the issues around him, with a lack of talent around him, no real established guys. You know, you talk about MJD and McFadden, they're certainly past where they ever were at their best. James Jones and then a bunch of guys in the receiving corps, Mike Rivera at tight end. The fact that he went 21-12 and threw 599 passes, I think that's a nice thing that you can kind of latch onto and say, things could have gotten a lot worse there for him.
Now, Derek Carr is going to be kind of the key player, or one of the key players in the tape versus stats analysis. Because I thought his tape was very impressive. I'm not telling you the guy's going to be Andrew Luck.
No.
But I thought for a guy on a bad team behind a bad line with a mediocre at best supporting cast, at best, he handled everything that came at him very well. But he had a very low yards per attempt, under 6 yards. Many of his touchdowns, his 21 touchdowns, were very short touchdown passes, which is, those two things are typically bad predictors for future success. But when he looked good doing it, that's the thing that I keep coming back to.
You know what he reminds me of, this kind of trajectory? And let's talk about, of course, that Bill Musgrave is coming in here to hopefully establish a strong ground game like he did in Jacksonville, Minnesota. How about Ryan Tannehill in Miami in terms of it's not going to happen quickly. He needs a ground game to help him. Hopefully Musgrave brings it in. I'm not saying he's the same kind of player.
No, they're not the same type of
player.
But
I'm saying that kind of slow development. He's not in a great situation. Hopefully it continues to improve. And, you know, something we talked about, is he a guy that maybe, you know, players, future options coming in here, free agents, look and go, you know, I think they got something here in this kid. I think he might be a guy that maybe as he gets a little bit better, becomes an asset for the team to bring more players in. So I'm not saying he's Ryan Tannehill. I just hope there's that kind of slow build there that they can kind of put a team around him and he becomes that strong asset.
I see what you're saying there. He's a guy I might take a risk with if I have a really late pick this year.
Oh, yeah.
But he's probably a year away from that breakout season, I think. Not this year, but maybe next year in 2016. But, you know, he's a guy that you want to be in on the ground floor here. He's going to make that progression, it looks like. They're going to continue to get better at receiver. They did bring in Crabtree. He's not a special player at this point, but they might take a receiver early in the first couple rounds. You know, this team, this offense is slowly building here, and it looks like it could be pretty decent in a year.
I picked him up last year in our Dynasty League, and I'm happy to have him stashed away. I have Stafford in front of him. I think that's what I'm talking about here. It's optimism for his future. It's not this year. For fantasy, look, he finished 33rd. If he gets into the mid-20s this year, I think we'd be happy with that. We're not talking like this guy's going to make a major difference for fantasy, but I think there's that slow progression that I feel like can happen similar to what Tannehill has done. Maybe not quite as quick as Tannehill, but because it's still kind of a tough sell for people to come to Oakland.
Now, here's one thing we also have to take into account. Bill Musgrave. He has a history. Now, he was a previous offensive coordinator, Jacksonville, Minnesota. But now, there's one thing different. The year he spent in between his 10 years as offensive coordinator, between Minnesota and now, was spent in Philadelphia with Chip Kelly. He is the second consecutive quarterbacks coach under Chip Kelly to land an offensive coordinator job the next year.
Right.
Does Musgrave go back to playing Musgrave football? Or does he start playing some Chip Kelly football like Bill Lazor did in Miami?
Bill Lazor,
and
Miami,
honestly,
right?
Honestly, I think Carr's a nice quarterback for the Chip Kelly type of offense. No, is he going to run all over the field? No, he just had just 87 yards rushing last year, I believe. But the one thing he can do, quick distribution, get the ball out. He handled that stuff well. And it could be a very nice offense with which to do it because they added Crabtree. They got James Jones, Andre Holmes. Nobody's telling you these guys are world beaters, but they have positions on real NFL rosters, and they could draft Kevin White or Amari Cooper early in the draft. This could actually be an offense, if it runs a lot of plays, that actually holds, for the first time in years, multiple fantasy-relevant players.
And I don't think he's going to have that great breakout season this year, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if it happens. I mean,
if he got to a point where you go, I could throw him in my lineup this. I think that's what the most we're hoping for is. I'm stuck. You know what? Carr's been doing okay.
It's a bye week. I can I can throw him in a lineup.
That's about as good as it gets, I think, the way we've talked about the Raiders the last couple of years. Now, before we get to the receiving core, you mentioned kind of that quick distribution. I think someone that's going to help that is Roy Helu. And we like this signing here. Now, we certainly like Latavius Murray. We'll get into him in a little bit. But Roy Helu, I don't want to say he was kind of hidden. I guess you could say that he was kind of hidden in Washington. I think he's got more value in a bigger role. And I think he was more of a nuisance for us playing with Alfred Morris. Where now he comes to Oakland, I think you could see him develop into a bigger role. And maybe does he have more legitimate fantasy value on a week-to-week basis as a number three in a PPR, because I don't think they want to put too much on Murray. This has been a team that's been interested in other running backs, and I don't know what that says about Murray. I mean, they let McFadden go. He's with Dallas. MJD is retired. Marcel Reese has never been used enough, even though he can do a lot of different things, and they gave him an extension a couple of years ago. We like what we saw from Murray, but it seems like they want to make sure he's got a little help to go along and, with that.
You know what? That's fair.
Yeah.
You know, you saw what Latavius Murray did last year, and we liked his talent coming out, even as a sixth-round pick. But this is a guy who started three games.
We haven't seen him. I mean, remember, he got pretty much redshirted as a rookie for that random injury.
They didn't think he was picking up the playbook. They didn't think he was picking up the off. Now he's in a new offense. The flirtations with DeMarco Murray were apparently very public.
Yes.
Now, maybe they thought, you know, this could be a team that's a little bit better than people are anticipating.
Sure.
We want to get DeMarco Murray in here and have a true foundation for the ground game, which is totally fair. Oh, and by the way, speaking of the Philadelphia connection, Bill Musgrave apparently thought that DeMarco Murray would have been a fit in his offense, and then Chip Kelly went and signed him. So there was obviously a reason they went for that. But all in all, I'm really glad that they didn't sign DeMarco Murray, because I think Latavius Murray and Roy Helu is a nice backfield.
Do we have to temper our expectations here for Latavius Murray now, though?
Yeah.
I mean he's a good pass catcher. He's good, you know, good pass blocker. You know, so he's going to lose some of those situations. But overall, I still like Murray as, you know, my, you know, number two running back.
Do you like Latavius Murray better than Alfred Morris?
Yes. Just because the upside.
You feel like you know what
we
Alfred
know
Morris
is? We know we have an
yeah.
Alfred Morris, and we're not excited about it, as we talked about in the Redskins podcast. I want to mention, as we record this here today, Adrian Peterson has been a name that's been kind of thrown around that could be connected to Oakland. I mean, that's just going for the big-time upgrade, as DeMarco Murray would have been. But if they stay with what they have here, I liked and I was excited about the Murray-Helu combination. And by the way, I am not worried at all about the addition of Trent Richardson here.
Trent who?
Trent Richardson. He used to play for the Colts, and he was with the Browns before
that.
Oh, that
guy.
He had
that
one good year with the Browns. Right, yeah.
Oh.
I think they're just kind of bringing him in, and I don't think there's a lot of worry or risk in bringing him in. I would hope he doesn't become a nuisance. I'm not even sure he's going to make the team.
I was just going to say, is he going to make the 53-man roster?
I would. I think if you have Murray now, if you're thinking about keeping Murray as a keeper, I don't think Trent Richardson should be changing your mind or altering your decisions at all.
Oh, I completely forgot about Trent
Richardson. Right, exactly. Exactly.
No, and by the way, maybe Trent Richardson just had a serious freaking wake-up call. I think the odds are stacked heavily against that.
Maybe he's just not very good, Joe.
I mean, I think that's part of it.
But I'm saying, my point is, if you have Murray, you're thinking about keeping him. You have a dynasty. I don't think Trent Richardson's making a big
absolutely
right. That's my point.
Not. Now, for the Raiders, they're like, you know what? We got this young running back in Murray. We got a third down guy in Helu. I think it's completely fair for them to take a shot on Trent Richardson. I'm not going to knock them for signing Trent Richardson. 3 years ago, this guy was the number three pick in the draft. But no, I completely agree. Trent Richardson is not affecting the way I view Latavius Murray.
Well, having said that, with nobody else other than Helu being signed, we'll probably get a pretty good idea of Murray's value so far in MFL 10s, because they haven't made, I don't think, and Helu could change a little bit because now you have more of a pass catcher back there and maybe take something off of Murray's plate. By the way, Murray did have 17 for 143 on 22 targets. So remember, he didn't really get going until the second half of the season, had that concussion after that big game on Thursday Night Football. He played in 15 games, 3 starts, 424 yards, 2 touchdowns on 82 carries, 5.2 yards per carry, 17 for 143, 22 targets. From week 12 to the end of the season, he was the number 16 running back at 14.2 fantasy points per game. He's atop the depth chart as we tape this today. Where is he going in MFL 10s?
20th running back off the board, 42.5 pick.
Wow.
That makes him mid-fourth round, late third, mid-fourth.
I thought he'd be higher than 20.
Earliest pick? The earliest pick has been 25,
yeah,
which means he's the first pick of the third round is the earliest he has
gone. I expected that. I expected more of that, actually.
Yeah,
people looking for that upside.
You know what? Here's the thing. He's going – I wonder if – correct me if I'm being nuts here. I wonder if you can almost kind of group him with Carlos Hyde in what people hope they do. Yeah. Well, Murray's going about a full round after Carlos Hyde, and I'd rather take Murray a full round after Hyde than I would take... And I don't think Hyde's going in a terrible spot. He's going in the middle of the third round. I don't think that's ridiculous.
And I feel like the Oakland offense is starting to trend upward, and that 49er offense is starting to trend downward.
Is there a huge difference between these teams at this point? I mean, I know San Francisco got more around them than we know about.
Each other.
Right. But exactly. Yeah. There's, I mean, a round difference... Maybe Hyde's a more well-known name going into year two. We know he's the guy. There's been other teams and players mentioned for that could come in here and maybe take over for Murray or something like that. We talked about Peterson and DeMarco.
But both and Reggie Bush, right. You know, both pass catchers, you know, going to be stealing snaps from them on third downs.
I mean, arguably you could say you saw more of Murray having the big role than Hyde did last year. That's the thing.
That's not a question.
Yeah. That's the thing. We kind of know a little bit more.
We've at least seen Latavius do it a couple times.
Latavius Murray was in fantasy football championship lineups.
I mean, like I said, he was the number 16 running back.
He was a
from week 12
two
on. Yeah,
from the just you got to take that into account. This guy only started three games, but we have seen more of Latavius Murray than we've seen Carlos Hyde. That's a fact.
Now I mentioned Helu being a guy that might have actual legitimate fantasy value instead of being more of a nuisance. Now in a PPR, he's a flex. He's a number three. I'm not expecting anything more than that. But I think he's a guy that could threaten to catch 60 balls this year if he's in the role that we expect him to be. But where does that put him in his current MFL 10 value?
Remember, I always say, take into account the fact that players who are moving, their data is sometimes a little bit skewed. He's going at pick 139.6, pretty solidly in the 12th round.
I love that.
49th running back off the board. He's a 4, he's a 5. He's going about 10 picks after Theo Riddick.
I like that a lot.
Here's what's interesting. He's going about 11 picks before Reggie Bush, who's a guy you brought up. I kind of like Reggie Bush there as well, to tell you the truth. He's going about 12 picks before Darren Sproles. I'm okay with it. I would probably take Bush or Sproles over Helu just because I'm not exactly sure what he's going to do in Oakland, but I'm fine with that.
By the way, this is a guy in Helu that did draw some interest out there. The Jets, the Patriots were interested. I mean, we expected this. He has not been asked to do a hell of a lot. In fact, his biggest workload was back in 2011 as a rookie at 151 carries and 49 catches.
He was the lead back at times. Yeah.
Right. Now he's just kind of been, 40 carries last season, 62 before that. He's been over 30 catches three different times in kind of a diminished role, not really a big-time role. I expect that role to increase. I love where he's going there, Tom.
No, I think it's a good value. I mean, you're taking a flyer on a guy. It's a fourth or fifth running
the
back.
Risk. The
have
separation
no risk.
Between those yeah. guys down there is – which guy are you going to get who gets an opportunity?
Right.
Yeah. Listen to some of the
names. And I think Helu has a better chance of maybe getting more early down work than Bush.
Does it surprise you that he's going ahead of Fred Jackson?
No.
No, it doesn't.
I feel like
do you like Fred Jackson there, though, just because McCoy is pushed, I mean, for good reason?
No, I feel like Helu has a little
any
more
of those,
upside.
Any of those guys that are going that late, I'm not investing heavily and I'm not asking a lot out of those guys.
The separation between these guys is so little.
Yeah.
Like, you could see Kyrie Robinson's going after him. An interesting guy, Brandon Oliver, is going after him. This is like you take a shot on a guy, and maybe early in the season when you're still holding on to him, they get an opportunity.
And if they don't, you cut them loose, you're not going to miss them. Let's get into the receivers here. We talked about the addition of Crabtree. And the issue with Crabtree, maybe he priced himself out. Obviously, he had some interest in Baltimore and Miami. Ends up with Oakland, doesn't have to leave the Bay Area. He's been slowed by these injuries. It's been a problem for him in a big way. He's not that big, so he's known as a great route runner, but he's not going to run by you, and he's not going to jump over you and make these catches. So, he needs to be in an offense where he's not asked to do a hell of a lot. I think having James Jones there, you have a pair of nice veterans. You're not excited about it, but isn't this kind of what this team needed? Because we've, talked about, is Andre Holmes going to get going? Is Rod Streeter going to get going? What about Bryce Butler? I mean, it's all these young guys. Denarius Moore is now gone. But it's all been these, there's some speed. They have some potential. And nobody's been coming through in a consistent way. I think these are the kind of guys that James Jones and Crabtree, that's exactly what Derek Carr needs early in his career. He doesn't need to be the one. And he's not at this kind of spot in his career. He's not Luck. Where he's going to make these guys around him better at this point in his career. Maybe he will develop into that kind of quarterback. So having Jones and Crabtree, I think, is very good here. You're not going to get pumped about it.
I don't think either guy's going to be the one, to be honest with you. Because I think the guy they're taking
I hope this doesn't stop them from taking a wide receiver.
I don't think it will.
Because I'm not very thrilled with the Crabtree. I feel like they already have that guy in James Jones and Rod Streeter.
Agree.
Like, they still need that guy that can get
Streeter
down the
couldn't
field.
Stay on the field last year.
It gives you a couple options. It gives you more depth.
And don't forget the Crabtree deal.
I mean,
Andre
Holmes was really the only guy that could really get down
the
field at all last
question.
Year.
Well, the thing with Crabtree, it's 1 year, it's a $3 million deal.
I don't have
a problem.
I'm just saying,
I know
that doesn't deter them from taking a wide receiver if they feel like Kevin White or Amari Cooper is the guy.
Every report has indicated not at all. And on a one-year deal for Crabtree, it should not anyway.
I think people have been saying Kevin White is the guy here because he's more of the Raider type. He might be the bigger project, but this is a guy who could be top five receiver in the league if everything
pans out. And he feels like
out.
More of that vertical threat that they are lacking right now.
I mean, I think Amari Cooper is a better player than Michael Crabtree, but can an argument be made that they're a little similar at this point?
I don't think at this point. I don't feel like Crabtree can get down the field anymore.
He can't. He's
not the way
Cooper can.
Cooper's more of a guy who wins with his route running. White's more of a guy who wins with his physical skill set, who wins because he's got that long stride. He's got the deep
They need
speed.
A player like that. Yep. They don't have that on this roster, an established guy. Holmes has had those opportunities, and he has not come through.
Yeah, he's interesting because he produces when he's out there, but he lands in the doghouse quite a bit.
Yeah, he doesn't get on the field nearly as much as you'd
he's
want.
He's too much of a question mark.
Yep.
He's had chances. He's flashed, and he has had chances, and he has not come through. I mean, you know, maybe he gets another one, but Crabtree, Jones, if they add one of these big receivers that you guys are mentioning, I don't see a lot working here for Holmes. You know, Rod Streeter's been okay, but last year
he was banged up.
You didn't really get a chance to see him.
Yeah,
so,
he'd shown nice development, but last year was a lost season for him, so he's just a guy.
Is Jones the highest Raider wide receiver being drafted at this point?
Okay, let me take that.
Might be because of Crabtree.
You can't take Crabtree's.
I think really my question is, right now as it stands, are you excited about any Raider wide receiver for fantasy?
Other than Crabtree, Jones is the highest, and Jones is going off as the 79th receiver, which means, for the most part, he pretty much not even gets drafted.
Right. Yeah. If they feel like all waiver wire guys stands now, I don't think we're pumped up Mike Rivera at all. 58, 534, 4 touchdowns on 99 targets.
That could be a tight end spot.
Yeah.
The problem is it's such a weak tight end draft. They signed Lee Smith, who's a blocking tight end. I wouldn't be shocked if Rivera is the top pass-catching option there again, if only because the Raiders have enough needs that taking a tight end in a bad tight end draft might not be the smartest thing. You know, guys, one thing they could do, though, Tom, maybe they think offensive line is a huge need.
Well, remember, they signed Rodney Hudson, the center, to a big deal. 5 years, $44.5 million coming over from the Chiefs.
He's a great center.
It better be at that money.
Right now, their projected starting tackles are Donald Penn.
Khalif
Barnes and or Menelik Watson. They need a tackle. Is 4-2 high to take a tackle
That's,
in this
that
draft?
That might be the problem, though.
Are they a trade back team?
Best tackle class that we've seen
in recent years. It's got depth.
Yeah, not that tie-in guy, though.
So, is wide receiver in the first, tackle in the second a possibility? I think that is definitely a possibility. And I would think a tackle getting drafted in Oakland is going to have a shot to start day one, to be honest with you.
And we'd like that. Yeah. Because we want to see David Carr stay upright. Yeah.
So there you go. It's an interesting look at their draft. Like I said, there's a little bit more. I would say there's not as much negative outlook on the Raiders.
There's finally some optimism. And it's all because of one quarterback.
They have a building block on defense.
Oh, yeah.
Khalil Mack is a monster.
Yes, he is.
This guy is awesome. I talked to him at the draft last year. Good kid. And he had an amazing rookie
year. And we finally saw the Raiders nail their first two picks last year. You get a guy like Khalil Mack who can, you know, quarterback your defense, and you get a quarterback in the second
round. You could argue. I think you can make the legitimate argument that the Raiders have the guys who, if you read in the draft, who would go 1-2 in the draft.
You might.
Other than maybe Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I thought before the draft Houston should have taken Khalil Mack over Jadeveon Clowney. You can make the argument Houston should have taken Derek Carr.
Yes.
And, Derek Carr is still going to be – we like what he did last year. We're not telling you this kid's on his way to being a superstar. As we said, there is a disconnect between the stats and the tape. The stats weren't great. I thought the tape was. Or at least great for what you could reasonably expect from the guy. But he's the player to watch, whether it's in Oakland, L.A., wherever – he's the future of the franchise as we stand right now.
Oakland got something right in the draft. That's nice to say. If you did redo the drafts again, they did it well. I don't know if they'd have to change much. So that's nice. Nice thing to talk about the Raiders. We'll see if they actually have a couple fantasy-relevant players that last the entire season. So there's our look at the Oakland Raiders. One more reminder about FanDuel. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. The entry fee starts at just $1. You don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. And it's not just baseball. They're playing NHL and NBA playoff games on FanDuel too. So obviously a little bit shorter rosters there with less teams in there.
Getting into the playoffs, but, hey, I love watching those hockey games.
You could watch a hockey. You could do a little hoops. You could do baseball. You could do everything. You
get three lineups going in one night.
Get involved and watch it all. Joe Watts from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code Guru and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code Guru. Don't forget to use our code Guru. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Speaking of signing up, you have to the end of April to take advantage of the early bird special at FantasyGuru.com. $24.95, $5 off the regular season price. All of these podcasts, the pre-draft rookie report Joe and Tom did, the pre-draft rookie report podcast, the post-free agency podcast from John Hansen and Greg Cosell. As soon as the draft is over, you'll get the stock watch updated. You'll get a post-draft rookie report with obviously a lot better rankings. We know these guys land. And also, make sure to check out Mike Horn's offensive identity articles, not only for the entire league, looking at the numbers from last season, where certain players and positions ranked, including where the number one running backs ranked, where the number one wide receivers ranked, but also is going to be breaking down in detail each position for the new coordinators and coaching changes around the league. Really good stuff there. We'll be working into our very extensive player profile. So all that up at FantasyGuru.com. Take advantage of that early bird special now while you can, because it's gone at the end of April. That'll do it for us today. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com.